All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And, you know, I'm going to put this in the Antichrist series that I have. I think this is number 15 of that series. But I was reading this in my Bible. I'm reading through my Bible. And I'm on 2 Thessalonians now. And, well, I'm farther than that now. But at the time that I put this together on Monday or Tuesday or whatever day it was, all the days run together now. But one of those days, I started putting that together. I think it was yesterday. I just had some more thoughts about this text, and we're probably only going to get through, I think, 5 verses today. I might finish the other 5 on next Wednesday or maybe this Sunday. I'm just not sure yet how I'm going to do that. I'll wait till the Lord leads on that. But I want to talk to you about some of these things because I think there's some interesting things. I know there are some interesting things here in these 5 verses and things that are relevant. As the Bible always is relevant, but to our times that we live in today and the times until the appearance of the Antichrist, which we don't know when that's going to be, but we know that it's coming. And we're seeing those kind of foreshadowings now of Antichrist and that spirit. And I'm going to bring you some interesting things here that I think are interesting. And we're going to talk about a few phrases. And one of the phrases we're going to cover a little bit later on, if I get to it, which I think I will, tonight, is the temple of God. I want to talk to you a little bit about the temple of God and that phrase and really what that is talking about, which I believe it is talking about. And I want to kind of teach you on that. And, you know, some of this stuff is still a mystery. God has not revealed it to us, nor have the times revealed it completely yet. But I think that, remember, we talked about that unfolding drama, you know, that we're seeing. And I think it is folding out. And I think each time the map folds even more as time goes by and as generation after generation goes by, more is unfolded. Our understanding is greater. Okay? So it is interesting. So let's look at these first 5 verses. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, comma, and by our gathering together unto him, comma, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as of the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God, notice the capital, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, capital, see that? Showing himself that he is God. That's extremely powerful. And I want to show you, I want to connect some dots for you here tonight, hopefully, to kind of connect that and show you exactly. I'm going to. No, uppercase, all uppercase. Yep, all uppercase. Anyway, so what I want to do is go through some of these here. Okay, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? I find it interesting that Paul says that. He says, remember, we already talked about this. So this is something that Paul had instructed the churches, or this church in Thessalonica, on when he was with them. It seems like to me that Paul is dealing with prophecy a lot here. And in the book of Thessalonians, the books of Thessalonians, he deals with prophecy. They were very concerned about it. There were some people that had come in. Well, I'll get to that in a second. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you'd be with us now. Help us, dear God, as we go through the scriptures tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there seems to be that there was a lot of trouble in Thessalonica, in the church of Thessalonica, with prophecy. They were concerned about it. It had been a subject that they were dealing with. And it had been something that some false prophets had come in and tried to deceive them. And they tried to deceive them many ways, and we're going to talk about those ways tonight. The title of this I call is Antichrist Days and Deceitful Ways. So we're going to get through the first 5 verses here, Lord willing, here. We'll see how long it takes here. But As we get started here, now we beseech you. That's begging them, right? We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, look, Jesus is coming one day, all right? And by our gathering together unto him. And we're gathered together unto him, right? Amen? That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. So he starts out by saying, look, you know, I don't want you to be shaken in your mind. Listen, friend, there has been and there's going to be a shaking that is taking place. And God is shaking people up and shaking people out. I've seen it. The deceivableness of unrighteousness, which we'll talk about probably another day, obviously. But the power of the deceit of this age, of this time, is going to have a climax. It's going to come to a climax with the appearance of that man of sin. But the end game, right? The end game is that God is going to use this to shake some people up. God, there is a shaken, people that are shaken in their minds. I've seen that. I've seen people shaken up and I've seen them shaken out. And I'll tell you something, the one thing that I've realized that if you don't have the Holy Ghost of God, if you are not born again by the Spirit of God, when the devil comes attacking, you're going to get shaken up and shaken out, and that's what's going to happen. When you don't want to do right and live for God, when you don't want to stand fast in the faith, when you don't want to, I'm telling you, it's because you can't most of the time. And they can't because they're not children of God. So they don't. They're shaken out. Some will be shaken up, others will be shaken out. Amen. And that's what's happened. I've seen it. I've seen it. But Paul warns, he says, listen, don't be soon shaken in mind or be troubled. See, they were troubled in their hearts over what was coming in the future. And these times are marked, this know also that perilous times shall come. What are those perilous times? Troublesome times. Troubled times. Times of tribulation. Right? Times of trouble that will come. And he says, look, don't be troubled in mind. Don't be shaken in your mind. Now, sometimes we do get shaken up. But praise God, not shaken out. I've seen some shaken out. I've seen them gone. I've seen them, they can't handle it. They can't stick it. They can't stick to it because they don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. They have no root, the Bible says. Turn to Mark chapter 4. I want to show you something here. Mark chapter 4. Verse number 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But look what the Bible says. And have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time. You know, it looks like they're saved. They're excited. They're on fire for God, it seems like. But there's no root there. It's kind of like that flame and they flame out. You understand? They burn so hot, they burn out. They burn up. And they're gone. I've seen that. That's why a steady flame is the best. Right? But these, they burn up. They have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. One thing you have to learn in your Christian life is not to be so easily offended. You really have to work on that. It's so easy for us to be offended. You know? And listen, when you are easily offended, it's because you're proud. I'm going to say it again for clarity. When you're easily offended, it's because you're proud. Amen. You think you're too good for somebody to offend you, and you've been slighted, and you're so easily offended. You know that, man, well, I couldn't possibly, look, I couldn't possibly be offended by that. Like they shouldn't treat me that way. Well, they maybe shouldn't. But you're proud. Well, I don't deserve that. No, you deserve a lot worse. So do I. Right? You deserve hell. I deserve hell. All the ridicule, the mocking, the scourging that Jesus went through, yeah, that's you and me. That's what we deserve. Right? So anytime you get on your high horse and think that you don't deserve anything and you're easily offended, that's very dangerous. Very dangerous to be that easily offended. Right? But these are a type of offense that takes place, an offended that takes place that they can't take it. They can't take anything. They can't endure any affliction. When the Bible warns us, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Did you know that's not just for men, that's for women too? I hate to break it to you, but did you know that? That's for you too, ladies. You're to endure hardness. You're not to be hard-hearted, but you're to endure hardness. Man, I am preaching. I was going to be teaching you. Look, I've been too nice for too long. I'm standing up. That's right. And here it goes. Yeah, that's right. That's what happens. See, this is why I'm only going to get through a couple verses, Jacob. That's why. That's how that happens. Because there's so much there. Amen. But it says, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They're gone. Out the door. They're shaken. They're shaken. You know, I thank God for the pastor that put me in the ministry, the church that did, and the pastor that did. Because I'll tell you this one thing that he told me, and there were trials that went on during that. And the one thing that he said to me, and I didn't understand it then, I understand a lot better now, 10 years, 11 years later, what he meant by that. He said to me one time, he said, "You know, if you can't handle this, then you're probably not called." I get it. Makes sense. Made a lot of sense. Now, it didn't make very much sense then, and it didn't feel very good then. But it made a lot of sense, because later, you know, outwardly, not inwardly, but outwardly, you know that when you start working with your hands, right, at first they're softer and they can't take as much, right? But what happens? The more you work with them, they start to get calloused a little bit. So then the more that you work with them, the tougher they get, right? And then when you get older and you've worked a lot, then you rub it and it's like they're rough, right? The hands are rough. They're rougher. And the reason for that is because they've been through a lot. You see that? Now, the inside of those hands are still soft and fleshly, right? And they could cut easy on the inside and hurt, right? But outwardly, what is it? There's a hardness. And that's the same. Our hearts are to be tender. But on the outside, we're to be a little callous to things when they come our way. Right? Not like snowflakes. Right? But a little more callous to things. Amen. Man, I could go on and on with that, but we need it. Amen. We need it. But this is supposed to be about the end times. It is. That's right. It is. It's supposed to be. But I go meddling. That's what some pray. Now you're meddling. I am indeed. Yes. Amen. Current times. That's right. That's right. Amen. That's right. We need it now more than ever. All right. Well, the one thing we learn here from verse number 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. First, he says, neither by spirit. So that means that the devils or false spirits will trouble many. Now, also that means that those devils will work in the children of disobedience and use others to trouble you, right? And we are warned about that in 1 John. The Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out of the world." You see that? The spirits and the false prophets are connected together. They are led by a different spirit. And that spirit is Antichrist. This is what Paul is building up to. He's building up to talking about the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Amen? That's what he's getting ready to talk about here. But he says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. Well, where'd they hear it from? Well, they heard it from Paul. See that? So you heard that it was going to come, that Antichrist spirit? Well, they heard it from Paul. Right? Jesus said one was going to come in his own name. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? That he would come in his own name. And him will you receive. Well, we're going to talk about that name and how he comes a little bit tonight, if we get that far. Year of God, little children, and have overcome them. Do you see that? And look at that. Those others, they were offended by the word, and they ran. But it says here, year of God, little children, and have overcome them. You've overcome those spirits. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What does that mean? Well, what is the spirit that now worketh in the children? According to Ephesians 2, according to the course of this world, to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's that spirit. That's what he's talking about. He says that spirit. What spirit? The Antichrist spirit. Right? The man of sin, the son of perdition. John is talking about him. Paul is talking about him. Jesus talks about him. And not enough Baptists talk about him. I'll tell you that right now. Not enough do. I'm telling you what, the sad thing is most Baptists today can't identify that Antichrist spirit. They can't even see it and they can't even identify it. And it's easy to be deceived by it. I'll tell you that firsthand. Yeah, and the less separated you are, the less the worse your judgment is and your discernment is. That's right. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. Remember, it says in our text verse, it says, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says this, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately, sneaky, subtly, seducingly. That's a word. I don't know. Might be. But you know what I mean. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. There's a difference in heresy and damnable heresy. Damnable has to do with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Godhead. Who Jesus is. Why? Because that's the only thing the Antichrist has a desire to pervert is the true seed, is Christ. Who he is. Why he came. What his work is. That's the point. That's what he's here to pervert. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. What is that? That's the falling away. And many shall follow that. We're going to talk about that. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Feigned words. Fake words. That's what that word feigned means. It's fake. Right? Fake. Yeah. I love you, Pastor. Enough to get the knife in. Find the right spot. Amen. Right? Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, look at it, it's covetousness. Coveting. Shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you? whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto the judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how, look now, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. You know that shaking? That you not be soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled? Those are those temptations, those tribulations, those trials that shake you. And it says here that the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Saints are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. We overcome. Many will be shaken out by spirits. I can't tell you how many people have told me, well, God told me this. And instead of trying the spirits, whether they're of God, and following things that are contrary to, oh, and I'm going to preach on this soon, sound doctrine. Instead of following things that are sound doctrine, they hear voices in their head that they say are God telling them to do something. And instead of saying, well, show me there where God told you to do something, because that's where God speaks to you, is right there. Not there. Right there. Amen? And if you hear something or a thought comes in and it doesn't match this, then guess what the Bible says? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought to captivity unto the obedience of Jesus Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Anyway, so that's what the Bible says about your thoughts in your head. Amen. I think you better get your thoughts. I think you better cast down your thoughts that keep telling you to do things that are contrary to the scriptures. Because then you just end up building up this whole thing and this defense in your mind of why it's right to do something. That's when you don't talk to anybody about it and you just do it anyway. And then you have it all figured out. I love when people come in and inform me of decisions they've made and they ask me about them. That's always awesome. Well, they want to talk to you. Oh, I'll talk to you. Okay, come in and talk to me, and then you already made your mind up. I'm not the Pope. I don't need to know if it's what you're gonna do, right? But anyway. But the Bible says that these lying spirits are sent forth to deceive. It's that religious antichrist spirit. It says, nor by word. That's any sermons or false prophets that shall arise that have that spirit of antichrist in them that preach contrary to sound doctrine. Same spirit that shakes people up. Man, I'm telling you, I've heard it all. Well, maybe not all, but a lot of it. I'll put it that way. Anything to get around this book. Anything to get around the authority of Scripture, the Lord's church, whatever. They'll make up anything they want to. Like Spurgeon said, they make up the biggest lies in the world. And he said, if you hear something about me, he said, it's the biggest atrocious lie, or biggest atrocious worst thing, he said, I won't be surprised. I won't be surprised. He said, I used to be when I was younger. And I get what he means, because people make up some whoppers. But that's that spirit of Antichrist. And you could be anybody you want to be online. You just make up a persona. But when you deal with real people, you don't get away with that. I just thank God for His grace. I thank God that no matter how hard that Antichrist spirit tries to push down and push out and defeat the Lord's work, that God is able to make it stand through everything. And it confounds them, believe me. and the spirits that lead them. It says, nor by word, right? Matthew chapter 24. Turn there, please. We're going to look at that. A warning. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 11. Christ is defining the same times. And he says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. By the way, false prophets in the Bible, that term, false prophets, seven times in the scriptures. False prophets. It's the same time period, though, the Bible's describing, the same deceit. And Paul is warning, don't be deceived by the words of some that would shake you. What kind of things are those? Oh, we've found missing pieces of the Bible. Or we found evidence that is against the Bible. Or preaching sermons that are contrary to the gospel to shake the faith of some. Or preaching a false gospel, any word that is contrary to sound doctrine. And beware that the words of men do not shake you from the scriptures and the truth of the Lord's literal return. And all the forces of hell will attempt to shake you from this book. You know how that works? See, Satan whispers, and what he does is, and devils do, and into your mind, and try to whisper and try to create doubt in your mind. And your heart is all too willing to receive it because of the flesh that we have. Right? And you listen to it, and then you start believing your feelings over what the Bible says, over what the Word of God says. You just ignore what the written page, the written Word of God says, and that you have faith in this book and in the God of this book. And you don't do that, and then you start going off your feelings about how you feel. Well, I hate to break it to you. Well, really, I don't, but I kind of like breaking it to you. But your feelings don't change anything. Your feelings add no validity to the gospel. Your feelings take no validity away from the gospel. Amen? They change nothing about the gospel. They change nothing about who God is. They change nothing about God's grace. They change nothing about God's mercy. And they certainly do not change your sonship with Him because of how you feel or you don't feel. Do you understand that? You need reminded of that over and over again. Because your feelings start getting involved with everything. And then you stop thinking about this book and meditating and think on these things. And then you start listening to things in your mind and your thoughts. Well, don't trust your thoughts. First of all, you're not that smart. So quit giving yourself that much credit. Amen. Some of you are probably offended by that. But I'll say it again. You're not that smart. You're not that wise. Neither am I. Definitely not. That's why simple dependence upon God is what you need. Do you understand that? It's as simple as, Father, it's dark outside, help me. What father turns that away? What father does not hear his child cry in the middle of the night for that? If it's needed. What father in heaven doesn't hear that? You're of more value than many sparrows. But if you rate it upon your feelings, well, then of course not. Your feelings and all the thoughts that you have in your head tell you something different. Well, those things haven't done you very much good in the past, so don't try to use them now. They're not going to do you much good in the future either. That's why you have simple dependence on this book. Boy, this is a lot preacher than I wrote it. Yeah. And I still got a long time, too, man. This is great. Captive audience. Look, let me ask you a question. Have you done well to believe this book? That's what they'll ask you. That's what the devil tries to whisper in your mind. Have you done well to believe this book? The devil wants to shake you. His kingdom wants to shake you. That's their whole goal. Do you understand that when you got saved, you switched teams? And you are forever hated by the other one. Forever. Like, forever hated. And I don't mean, like, it's not like this, like, they're just not really fond of you. Like, if you could see, and thank God and I can't, but if we could see into that world, you would see the absolute wrath and hate that the devil and his kingdom have. But you would also see that the Holy Ghost of God and his army of angels, amen, is there to protect God's people as well. The indwelling of the Holy Ghost means that they can only go so far. Right? If you start believing what you think in your mind all the time, you might be in trouble. Well, I know you'll be in trouble. So just believe God's word and stick to that. Otherwise, you're going to be shaken by everything that happens. When we are shaken, it is because we are not exercising faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Not flippantly seek him. Not lazily seek him. But run after him. Like Paul said, to run. To press, to run. Amen. All right, so hold fast to sound doctrine. Don't be shaken in mind. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure it. And this is the age we live in, more so than ever. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having internet ears. I mean, having itching ears. They have internet ears. They are running around to and fro and listening to any teacher, anything, grabbing anything they can out there. No stability, carried away with every wind of doctrine all over the board. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Oh, we've seen that, like the flat earth. Flat earth. The flat nerf. That's going to make some flat earthers mad. They're going to spam this when they hear this. That's okay, though. If they got this far. But what does he say? But watch thou in all things. These are the times he's speaking of right now. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. He says, nor by letter as from us. How about this? Hey, there's missing Bible chapters. Letters found from Paul or Peter or James or Timothy or somebody else. Barnabas, the Gospel of Barnabas. The Gospel of Judas. We think pretty much that's not good news. That's I don't see how the Gospel of Judas could be good news at all. And he went out and hung himself. I mean, it's not a good gospel. Whatever he wrote, I don't want to hear, really. It's not good. Not good at all. Right? Things that preach contrary to the word of God. Avoid those letters. They're antichrist, like the book of Enoch. Right? Any of those books. All the Apocrypha. Right? They're antichrist. They're not the word of God. The Bible says, from such turn away. Turn away from those fables. Don't be shaken in mind by those things. Or you hear people say, by word, you hear people say, oh, well, they found this in Israel. And I heard one guy tell me that he wouldn't get saved. He said, well, I don't believe in Christianity anymore. I'll never forget it. It was like, let's see, I want to guess it was like 2000 or 2001. It was before I was saved. I think it was about 2001. I was sitting in this place in Geneseo, Illinois. It was called the Country Store. And it's right out on I think it's Wolf Road. Is that Wolf Road? Yeah, I think it's Wolf Road. It was the country store. Sorry, it's in Illinois. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but that's unfortunate for you because you should be there. It's a great place. Anyway, but I'm sitting out there at that country store, and I'm listening to this guy, and he says, well, he said, I could never believe in the Bible anymore and in Jesus. I said, why is that? Because they dug into Jesus' tomb, and they found a body there. Yeah, who's they? And who's? How do you know it was his body? And how do you know it was his tomb? How do you know any of that stuff? Because Rome tells you this is where Jesus' tomb was? The Church of the Immaculate, whatever it is? Deception? So awesome. That's a good title. Did you? Yeah, right? So now all of a sudden that's real? How do you know that? You don't know anything about that, but you do know that the book that has stood the test of time.
Right.
You don't be shaken by word, by letter, by spirit, right? As if the day of Christ is at hand, he says. He's worried about the timing of the day of Christ. Right? But you're not to be soon shaken, because in these times people are going to be shaken. Or the critical text people who tell you that your Bible is wrong. Well, your Bible's not right. Look, we don't care if the churches were using this received text for 1,000 years. It doesn't matter. It's wrong. You can't believe it. Don't trust it. And you ask James White, is there a perfect Bible, James? Where's the perfect Bible at, James? James can't answer. James doesn't answer. Because he can't answer. Right? But that old King James Bible, it stood through all the tough times. The one that God used to spark the greatest revivals and broke the temporal power of the Pope. It was the bulwark of the Reformation, the crown jewel of the Reformation. That the poor Anabaptist brethren and Waldensians and others died for. The book they stood for, those manuscripts. So don't be soon shaken. Because those men would have died 1,000 deaths to have you hold the book in your hand today, you do. They would have died 1,000 times over for it. The one you neglect. The one you don't pick up and read. When's the last time you read it? When's the last time you got in your Bible? Maybe you'd be in a lot better mood if you read your Bible. Right? Maybe you would be. Maybe your spirit be stronger. You wouldn't be so easily offended if you were reading God's Word. Because God's Word would show you what you really are. And you'd be like, mine's so good anyway. When's the last time you got in that book and let God's Word rebuke you and reprove you and correct your bad attitude? By the way, you don't have a right to be in a bad attitude. You don't have a right to do that. You do have a right to remain silent. I'm not arresting you. I'm just saying it will be used against you in the court of law, though. It will be. Every idle word. Right? Sometimes you and I think I have a right to be in a bad mood. No, you don't. We don't have a right to be in a bad mood. No. We have no right. We're wrong. Amen. All right. Verse 3 in our text. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you. Man, can you believe we've only got through 3 verses? Isn't that something? Huh? Let no man deceive you. He says it again, right? He said, don't be shaken by all these letters, by words. See, people were writing false letters from apostles saying that they were the word of God, and they weren't. And they weren't apostles. They were liars. Right? John warned about that, or in the Revelation. Anyway, was warned about, many of the books warned about that. Peter warned about those people. And Paul definitely warned about those people. Verse number 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Let no man deceive you by any means. I don't care how they try, don't let them deceive you. Right? How do we stay from being deceived? We stick to the book. Amen? We stick to the Bible. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? The day of Christ. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So we're going to get into that. The falling away first. What is that? A wholesale apostasy of mainstream faith. must come first. Must come first. So that's why we do not believe in the doctrine of eminence. The eminent, you hear about the eminent return of Christ. I'm sorry, but the Bible says there must be something that comes first. What's that? The man of sin to be revealed. Right? The falling away and the man of sin being revealed. The falling away must take first. We're talking wholesale apostasy. We're getting there. We're getting pretty close. Now, there's always going to be a remnant. But the point is that mainstream Christianity, mainstream, if there is such a thing, mainstream, those that name the name of Christ are not going to depart from iniquity. They're going to preach a false Christ. The falling away must come first, right? The falling away ushers in the Antichrist. Here's what you have to say. Here's what you have to understand. The falling away makes his path straight. Remember when Paul said, don't be deceived by letter, nor by word, nor by spirit? It's because that mystery of iniquity, that spirit of Antichrist, is indwelling those false prophets. Remember that in Ephesians chapter 2, how it says that they have the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and they're bent on the course of this world. That spirit is preparing the arrival of the Antichrist. Now, how is it doing that? By preaching a false Jesus, a false faith, a false gospel. By perverting the words of God. By changing the words of God. Right? By perverting sound doctrine. The spirit of Antichrist brings in the Antichrist, the false prophets, and the fact that they would not endure sound doctrine ushers in the Antichrist. That falling away makes it easy. So here's what I want you to understand, okay? When you have a wholesale apostasy and the known world is believing in a false Christ, a false Jesus, a false Bible, then when that man of sin, their books describe the Antichrist, not Christ. The religions of the world, the Pope, others like him that are spreading a false narrative, a false gospel, telling some little boy that his daddy was in heaven that died an atheist. What is that? It's a false gospel. What is it preparing? When that man of sin is to be revealed, when he comes on the scene, everybody's going to be like, well, that's Jesus. That's the one we've been waiting for. That's the one. His paths are being made straight. They're being made straight. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. We're going to go there because it describes these same times. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, you see that? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. So pay attention. He is speaking expressly to you that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. What is that? Apostasy. Apostasy. Depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They give heed to those seducing spirits, right? Why here? Okay, well, God's leading me here. Well, what God? The God of the Bible? The one you keep saying God. I don't think you know who that is. Because you keep saying something contrary to the Bible. Rather than the Spirit of God, they give heed to these seducing spirits. It would be a part of their system to yield to those spirits that lead astray. The spirits here referred to, says one commentator, to are any that cause to err. And most obvious and natural construction is to refer it to the agency of fallen spirits. Though it also applies to false teachers, because they're influenced by evil spirits. This may be applied so far as the phraseology is concerned to any false teaching, but it is evident that the apostle had a specific apostasy in view. Some great system that would greatly corrupt the Christian faith. Now, I believe the Roman Catholic Church is part of that system, but I believe the Roman Catholic Church is changing right before our eyes. It is transforming. It's changing. It's transforming into something different. And it's going to lead the way for the greater apostasy that is to come. That would greatly corrupt the Christian faith. To the true people in all ages that are prone to give heed to seducing spirits. But the thing referred to here is some grand apostasy. In which the characteristics will be manifested and the doctrines held. Which the apostle proceeds to immediately specify. That's why you're to try the spirits. The time is here, and the apostasy has already started, I believe. and men are being swept away and cannot endure sound doctrine. So they heap to themselves internet teachers that fill their heads with facts but give them no accountability in a church. Look, I'm glad you can repeat things like an encyclopedia and you know all these things. Why don't you try living it? Why don't you try living it? Let me see you live it. Let me see you learn to love people in a church and learn to get along with people and suffer some things and not run off and hide in your little cave somewhere.
Right.
And by they are offended by the word. See, they govern themselves and they feign themselves to be under God alone. But Paul dealt with that spirit with those Pharisees in Corinth. They said, well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Christ. Losers. They get on their internet videos, I don't need any man. Thanks, Sparky. You're a winner. Just ask yourself. It's a sign of the Antichrist time. It is the falling away. It's the start of that, the shaking out of those who will fall away. And we're right on the threshold of it. I believe that falling away is in our midst, and mainstream Christianity is compromised and in bed with the devil, denying the only Lord God that bought them. So when they fall away, they are shaken out. Now let's look at that phrase, fall away. Let's look at that. Look at Luke chapter 8. Turn there, because you're going to see something that I want you to pay attention with. You say, well, these are people that were saved. Oh, no, they weren't. Oh, no, they weren't saved. That apostasy, they apostatized from the faith. They weren't saved, though. Luke shows us that. Luke chapter 8, verse number 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So he just snatches the word like a vulture right out of their heart. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. Now watch this. With joy. And these, I mean, they're excited. They're happy. They're excited. Man, they're like a firecracker. Right? But you know what firecrackers do, right? They blow up. And then if they blow up, you don't get nothing out of them. They're done. Right? I've been saved for 16 years, and I've met a lot of firecrackers. You light that fuse, and they blow up, and they're gone. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation, look at this, fall away. See that? Now remember, class, are you paying attention? What did it say in our text? For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So who are the ones? Who are those people? They're these that fall away. They have no root. They fall away. No root, they fall away. Hebrews chapter 6. I want to teach you something about this tonight. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 4. This verse is a favorite verse by heretics to pervert. The Bible perverts like to pervert this. They like to make you feel like you're going to lose your salvation. I never met a one of them that lost it yet, though. It's always somebody else that lost it, not them. I just want to know who got it back. That's all. I never hear them talk about that. Well, who got it back? It's like hot potato. Got it. It's ridiculous. It's a nonsense. What a goofy doctrine. You're my son today. You're not my son tomorrow. You're my son today. You're not my son tomorrow. Can you imagine that? I mean, who could live like that? Who could live like that? That's so stupid. It's dumb. Yeah, it's just dumb. Like, how could you even live like that? I mean, wake up in the morning, and it says, we have an inheritance reserved in heaven for us, preserved in heaven for us. It's there, right? There's a reservation. It's there for us, right? Incorruptible. That what? fadeth not away? Doesn't go anywhere? Well, how'd you lose it then? Stupid. That's plain Bible teaching right there. I'm sorry. I could go get confusing verses. I'm going to give you one right now that's confusing for some people. And I'm going to make it very plain for you tonight. It's not confusing. That's why you study the words and phrases of the Word of God. And then you look at the context. Then you understand what's being said. Hebrews chapter 6 is dealing with, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, which these kids that teach you can lose your salvation are kids, if they're even saved. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of what? Repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. So if you got to go back to school if you don't understand that. Those are the first principles. Goes way beyond the fundamentals of the faith. These are the first principles of the faith. And notice baptism is part of that. The fundamentalist movement failed, and the reason why is because they left off God's ordinances. They left off baptism like it wasn't important. Or they bastardized it and baptized everybody that wanted it, that didn't even know what they were getting baptized for. Bribed some little Mexican kid a burrito to come to church, and or maybe pinata, I don't know. Is that what they're called, those things you hit? And the candy comes out? Yeah. Here, have a popsicle, kid, get baptized. Right? I'm serious. That's what they do. I know because I did it. So. No, I didn't do that, but I did something like that. Invited them all to church. I know what it was like. Right? Giannis knows what I'm talking about. Were you on a bus route, Giannis? You gave candy away, didn't you? Did you swallow the goldfish? You ate a worm? A gummy worm or a real worm? Did you chew it or did you swallow it? How many kids came for that? Look, that's all you got out of that? That's all you got out of that? I would never do that for them. Unless they brought some visitors, man, you better put some on the table. I ain't swallowing that goldfish and drinking that Coke for that thing to wiggle down my stomach for nothing. You know what I'm talking about, Andrew? They're still in Andrew's belly. Anyway, all right. Hebrews chapter 6, here we go. Okay, he says, and this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Look, it's impossible. They were never born again. Because once they fall away, they don't come back. They're gone. They can't be renewed again. If you could lose it, you couldn't be renewed. There's no way to get saved. Right. If. See the question? Those that fall away never come back. They're done. Yes. They're reprobate silver. It's dealing with those that apostatize. They never come back. They fell away and will not be renewed, right? They will never come back. So understand, that's the when you study fall away or falling away in the Bible, that's what you see. Those are not people that, they were saved, but they're going to fall away because they're shaken. No, they were never saved, and the shaking proves that. They were never. Tribulations prove saints belong to God. Trials prove that saints belong to God. They are the evidence of you getting through that trial and God making you stand as evidence. Right? It shows whose you are. And it strengthens you through all things. That's what trials do. That's what they do. And verse number 3 here. It says here, actually, let's see here. Yeah, I think we'll do this. It's not that long. Giannis isn't that tired. I'm going to keep going. You're still ready to go, aren't you, Giannis? He's still in the other time zone. Are you still in the other time zone? Yeah, I am too. What's wrong with me? I am too. I went with you, I think, so I'm kind of, I'm on a different time zone. All right. Let no man deceive you. Okay, we talked about that by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. You know what? I think I'm going to, let me see here. Hang on 1 second. I want to see where I picked up on that. You know, I think I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. And the reason why is because I want to develop this a little bit more here, this next part. And I think it'd be a good idea because I want to get into the temple of God. But I think I'm going to save that.